Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. This is the reading of God's word. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we pray that your Spirit will let us have that ear that we need to hear your word. Oh Father, increase our faith as we hear your word, and through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us already. And Father, we pray that as we hear the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have said that from verse 9 all the way to verse 14 is Paul's prayer. Paul is praying for the Colossian congregation. But you also need to remember that it is God's word. Thus, it is Jesus' own prayer for all of his people. You know, we read in the Bible that Jesus is praying for his people even now. And if you wonder, what is he praying about? Well, read the Bible, because this is his word. So let's get into this prayer. We're going to read from verse 9b, meaning latter half of that verse 9, and verse 10. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that, so this is what Paul is asking God, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And when we read this kind of prayer in the Bible, we're so joyous. Why? Because we know that this is what God is praying. Jesus is praying for us. And do you have any doubt that what he prays will not come true? Of course it comes true. Actually, it already has come true. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplishes, he does it in two stages. At his first coming, he accomplishes it spiritually, meaning it's not visible. But it is nevertheless accomplished. That's why he requires you of faith, because it's not visible, you need to believe. I mean, if it's visible, he's not even going to talk about faith. Because what does it mean that you don't believe what you see? I mean, even the world understands that concept. I mean, if you could see it, you need to believe it. But Bible says it's all about faith. Why? Because everything that Christ has accomplished is not visible yet. But there's that promise that one day when he comes back, all will be visible. So all of his word is already accomplished, and yet it is accomplishing even now, and one day it will be visibly consummated. All those things are true. Because when you read Paul's letter, sometimes he talks as if it is all done, it's finished. But sometimes he's saying, is continuing. And many other verses, Paul says, one day when Jesus comes back, it will be consummated. See, all those things are true because that's how Jesus accomplishes things. So let's go back to this prayer, wonderful prayer. Look at the beginning and the end of these two verses. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what Paul prays for Christians. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowing God's will and knowing God. This is what Paul prays for Christians. See, this is what Christianity is all about. So many people misunderstand what Christianity is. They have their own understanding, but look at the Bible. Look at what Paul or God Himself is praying for us. That we may know God. Knowing God, that's the purpose. Now, we said this many times, but knowing God in the Bible, to know does not mean just the head knowledge. And I gave you this example many times. You're probably sick of it, but here again, one more time. And, you know, just because he's president now, I will use President Trump. When I used this example a long time ago, I used President Obama. But here, President Trump, you know him. You know where he lives. You know what he does. You could read about it. I mean, now he's just crazy with his Twitter. You know what he's doing. You know where he lives. But I ask you, do you really know him? No. See, problem is that there are so many churchgoers who know God just like how they know President Trump. They know, but they don't know. But when it comes to knowing God, if that is true of you, then there's a problem. If you know God just like you know President Trump, meaning that you know about God, then there's a problem. So it's not enough to just know about Jesus Christ. You know where he is, where he lives, and you know what he did, you know what he's doing. That's not good enough. Because you have to know him truly. When Mary was told that she will have a baby, Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary says to angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? More literally, if you look at the Greek, how can this be since I do not know a man? That's original language. I do not know a man. Now, obviously, she knows about man. She knows what man is and how man is different from woman, and she knows all that. What does she mean that I do not know a man? It means I did not have a relationship with a man. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, but kept her a virgin, you know, Joseph, even after he found out that his wife has a baby already, but she found out that it's God's doing. So he kept Mary a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus Christ. Again, literally, this is what the original language says. And did not know her till he had brought forth her first son. Meaning that he did not have any relationship with her. You need to understand when Bible says to know, you exactly understand what it means. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, obviously, Jesus knows who they are. He knew, I mean, he's God, he knows everything. He knew where they lived, what kind of life they have lived, what they have done. He knows everything about them. And yet he says, I don't know you. What does it mean? I don't have any relationship with you. To know is to be in intimate relationship. So when we say we know God, you have a living relationship with Him. Anybody who's married or even have a girlfriend or boyfriend knows this. There's a relationship. You get up in the morning, and because of that relationship, there's interaction. There's sharing, communication. That's relationship. Without that relationship, you don't know, like what Bible is saying when it says, no. God is a person. Now again, you know, what? God is a person? No, we're not saying he's a human being. Person actually is a being with a personality. So, first, God is person, and because we are made in His image, we are also persons. But the world will not understand it that way, because when they hear that word person, it's automatically human. So, with God, you are actually able to have a person-to-a-person relationship. Because he is living God. And that's what he wants to have with you. He talks to you through his word. You talk to him through your prayer. And it's not our imagination that there is actually communication going. But that is what we believe. And whether we are all deceived or not, we'll see when Jesus comes back or when you die here. There's actual relationship. So Paul wants us to know God. Not just about Him, but have that intimate relationship with God. And this is what God wants. It's just like any two people who are in love. I mean, when you marry someone and just get up and don't say anything, don't talk to that person, just go out and do whatever you do, come back and don't talk to that person, and you go out again. That's not relationship. God wants to have a relationship with you. To know God is to be in an intimate relationship with our God. See, this is what Christianity is all about. It's about knowing God. John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is?
that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is all about, according to the Bible, is to know God. You have to understand these Christian things according to the Bible. Don't listen to any you know, things out there unless they could show it to you that it is from the Bible. The biggest problem that the sinners have is that they do not know God. Hosea chapter 5 verse 4, their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6a says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. See, sinners do not know God, and they do not know the will of God. To be saved means that the saved person now knows God. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3a, so let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and I delight in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. You know, burnt offerings, today's language is worship. God wants you to know Him even more than you worship Him. So we have that picture in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus knocking at the door. And, you know, when you see a calendar, you know, Christian calendar, so-called, that door on Jesus' side, there's no door knock. Only inside, see, only you could open. And He's knocking. But that picture is not referring to the moment that you are saved. That somehow God is knocking in your heart and you open, now you're saved. No, He's not talking. That letter that we read in chapter 3 is a letter to the churches. That means that person who is receiving that letter is already saved. So what is He doing? Well, He wants to have fellowship with you. And that you could block, that you refuse to have fellowship with God. He knocks on your door every single moment, but you do not open. No fellowship. So we have a picture in Song of Solomon. Here's a husband knocking the door, the wife doesn't open. The woman does not open. So all night long, he's standing outside the door. And the picture is that his hair is now all wet because of dew. That's how long he stays outside. But God wants you to know Him, to have fellowship with Him, to have that intimate relationship with Him. So if you do not understand your Christian life in terms of having fellowship with God every day, then your understanding is not biblical. You get up. First thing on your agenda is to have that time with God that day. More the better. And have that communication, that communion, that fellowship with God, so that you may know Him. And I got to know God all these years by His grace and through His Word. I realize, I know now what pleases Him. You know, when you start a relationship, you get to know what that person likes, what that person dislikes. you know, you get to know that person. Same thing, I now know what God hates and what God loves and what He wants me to do, what delights Him. We get to know God. I'm talking will relationship. Fellowship. And this is what God wants to have with you. Every single day. Every single moment. If that's possible. The sinners do not know God and they do not know the will of God. To be saved means that now that saved person knows God. We must know the will of God. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there are two kinds of will of God. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." The secret will of God and the revealed will of God. We are able to know God's will because God reveals them to us. If God does not reveal to us, then we will never know. God reveals His will for us very clearly in His Word, the Bible. So this is will of God. You will know by reading what God wants you to do. You know, there are so many people, like, I'm not talking about you, but they will come to people like me, pastor, and says, what should I do? I want to know the will of God. What should I do? And I say, I don't know. Because the will of God that they want to know is the secret will of God. See, God also reveals His will for us through His providence, but in that case, we know His will clearly only after when it happens. We know that it is His will for us to be here today because it already happened. But if yesterday you asked me where you be, I have to say, I don't know. What would be His will for you to be today? If you ask me that yesterday, I have to say, I don't know because I don't know. Even though that we meet as a church on Sunday morning, Lord's Day morning, even though usually that's what will happen, that you will come here, I have to still say, I don't know. Because I'm sorry, but because you might die last night, or you might get into a car accident, I don't know what will happen. Only thing that I could clearly say that it is God's will is those things that already happened. I could say that it is God's will for all of us to be here right now because we're here. It clearly shows that it was God's will. It is God's will. And we may not know God's will for us beyond what He reveals to us. Rather than being interested in the will of God that is clearly revealed to us in the Bible, the sinners are interested in the will of God only in terms of being wealthy and successful in this world. And that, no matter how many times you ask me, I don't know. What college should I go? I don't know. What kind of business should I do? I don't know. Any business that will bring glory and honor to God, that you must do. Any college you feel, you think, or you believe that will help you bring glory to God more than any other college, that's the college you go. But see, sinful mind wants to know the will of God in terms of gaining the wealth and the health of this world. That is not it. God did not reveal that to us. But there are so many things He did reveal to us, how you must live. But see, people are not interested in that. They don't care what God said. And yet, they come and ask what is God's will for them. And that's hypocrite. God told us clearly what we must seek. But the sinners are not interested in that. God told us already what we must do in terms of loving and serving and worshiping God more and more. But again, the sinners are not interested in those things. But, oh, they will really want to know what is God's will, you know, the lottery numbers tomorrow or whatever. Or what kind of business I should do so that I will be rich. Oh, they want to know that. No. He already revealed His will for you. And your life is too short just to obey the revealed will of God than seeking the secret will of God. Obviously, it's secret because God does not want to reveal it to you. And if that's His will, then we're very satisfied with that. Paul says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Meaning, the wisdom and the understanding that only the Holy Spirit gives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8b to 9, in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. But Holy Spirit does not reveal things of God apart from the Bible. God has already given to us, but He continues to give us this wisdom and understanding. Thus we may be filled with the knowledge and increase in the knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 12, but just as it is written, things which eyes has not seen and ears has not heard and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. It's very clearly written, the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge. He gives us the wisdom and the understanding. In the Bible, the spiritual wisdom is contrasted with, well, first, the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19a says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. And the spiritual wisdom is contrasted with, second, the wisdom of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. The spiritual wisdom is contrasted Number three, the wisdom of the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. See, spiritual wisdom is God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined for before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the ruler of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But the Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom. Wisdom enables us to understand and know, and it enables us to use that knowledge in a God-pleasing way. Ultimately, the wisdom of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 and 24, and verse 30, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jew a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But not only wisdom, but wisdom and understanding. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. You remember the sower's parable? There are four different kinds of soil, but actually there's only two. The other three is non-Christian's heart, and only one is Christian's heart. But this Christian, not only they hear the word, but they understand it, and they believe, and they obey. It enables us to comprehend. It enables us to know so that we may be able to discern, so that we may know Christ Jesus. Without the spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives us, we cannot truly know the will of God. Because even if non-Christian they read the Bible, they're not going to accept that as the will of God. They will never obey it. But you do. What's the difference? Are you any better than that? No, that's not what the Bible says. Only thing different is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. He works in you. He gives you understanding. He gives you faith. Seems like it's getting hot, huh? A few more minutes. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. I mean, Jesus says clearly, they hear, but they will never understand or believe. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not that they don't hear, it's not that they don't study, but they're not saved. Holy Spirit is not in them. See, this should give you the heart of thanksgiving, because it's not that you are any better than other people that you believe, but it's the Holy Spirit's work in you. Romans chapter 10 verse 2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." We know too many of these people. They have zeal for God. We have to give them that. God even says, "You have zeal for me, but it's not according to the knowledge. It's not according to what Bible says." And God is not happy with that kind of zeal, because what He wants is your obedience. And you must understand that. Because there are some Christians who think that just because they have zeal and they do all these things, and they think that they're doing it for God, that somehow they think they're okay. But if whatever they're doing is not according to the knowledge, then you're not obeying God. You're actually disobeying Him with all that effort that you put in. It's all about obeying what God says. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, "These people who do not have knowledge," quote, "they have what is falsely called knowledge." Luke chapter 10, verse 21 through 24, "At that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him.'" Turning to the disciples, He said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them." See, the true knowledge of God is hidden to the sinful world. See, sinful man thinks that they're in control. So they decide, right? I reject God, or I accept God, as if they're in control. But the truth is that God is in control. God will reveal Himself to anybody He chooses to reveal Himself to. And if He doesn't, then there's no way that non-Christian can believe. Man is not in control. And that reality will be revealed when Jesus comes back. When He comes back, everything will be revealed. Oh, but see, right now when you argue with non-Christians, you really cannot win. Because what they want to see is see things with their own physical eyes. They cannot just do what the Bible says. But it is hidden to the people who call themselves intelligent. They're so into science, so into all this knowledge of man, that they just cannot accept God. Well, God prays for you to have this knowledge of God. But what is the purpose of knowing God and His will? Well, to love Him and to obey Him. To know Him more, we must obey Him more. John chapter 7, verse 12, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instructions. You see, the true freedom is the freedom from sin. The true freedom is not living your life the way that your sinful heart desires. See, that's how the world understands that that's freedom, that I could do whatever I want. No, that's not freedom. You're just being slave to Satan. Because with that freedom you think you might have, you will go to hell, and then what? What freedom are you talking about? Biblical freedom is actually freedom from sin. That's what freedom is. Freedom from this world. The true freedom is all about being a slave to God. That's what freedom is. Because there's only two, either you're a slave to Satan or you're a slave to God. There's no middle ground. But the world thinks that there is a middle ground and they choose. Bible doesn't allow middle ground. If you are not of God, then right away you're of Satan. You don't belong to some middle ground. Where do you find that in the Bible? So true freedom is all about obeying God. You are truly free from sin and this sinful world. When we know God, we live godly life, the holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellencies. Yes, our Lord is praying for you, praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and increase in the knowledge of God. We are to grow to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is our purpose, to know God more and more. Let me end this. You and me, as we know God, it also means that God knows us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9a, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, He knows you completely and perfectly. Our resurrected life, the eternal life, the heavenly life, is all about having that intimate relationship, fellowship, communion with our God. And this is my last word. You know, this world, and I don't know why I point this way. You know, where is it? This world brags about whom they know. Oh boy, man, if that person knows some famous person, you will never hear the end of it. They brag about who they know. As if by knowing some famous person, somehow your value just goes up. And I guess it does. You and I, we know God. Go out and boast. Truly, go out and brag. We know Him. Jeremiah 9:23-24, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Go boast in Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you reveal yourself to us that we may know you. And Father, we thank you that our purpose, eternal purpose, is to know you. That you would like to have that intimate fellowship with us. Oh, Father, we love you, God, for you have loved us first. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.